You got to know where this guy at all times. There he is again.
How about three in a row?
Going deep. That was cold blooded.
Another three.
No! No!
All right, here we go. July 14th. This is High Volume Shooter. It's been a minute. You know, I'm going to slow down the pace here in the off season. I'm not going just, I don't have sponsors on here. I don't have to make a podcast for the sponsors. If there's nothing to say, I ain't going to say it. I'm not going to waste your time. But now, you know what it's been. I mean, I've been pumping out the breakdowns for Summer League. Y'all know where to get that. But now I got some takes about Summer League, some other stuff here. So we'll jump into that. But before I do, my patrons and people following me closely know I was having some health issues with my stomach, gastro. Honestly, I was concerned, man. But what I have done over the last 2 weeks, I waited till the off season to try this. No coffee. Now I'm a heavy coffee drinker. I'm a guy that sips coffee all through the day as I work, and it's crazy, like the unintended consequences, right? Because that's, I mean, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling fine. I got checked out. I'm doing good. But it has also forced me to drink way more water in place of that coffee, eat more meals. I'm feeling stronger. I'm feeling healthy. And so sometimes when things aren't going right with your health, it's a chain, right? And you figure out where the chain has gone wrong, and you take one thing out or add one thing in, and it fixes a lot of other stuff. So I'm feeling blessed and grateful to be back on track. Now, it is harder to get up in the morning, right? There is this kind of, you can't just spring right into work, you know, so having to exercise or go out, get some morning sun and do stuff like that to kind of fuel the battery. But again, the off season, I'm grateful for not having any urgent content coming out where I can do this and get ready for next season. If you're a heavy caffeine coffee drinker, I'd suggest at least just 2 weeks trying without it, see what the consequences are with your sleep, with your digestion, and your creativity, your mindset. Let's start with Jonathan Kuminga, Joku. He comes out in game one, Vegas Summer League. Mind you, he had just flown back from the Congo where he was playing with them in the FIBA World Games, right? And so maybe some jet lag. And, you know, here's the thing. He hasn't had an off season yet, right? And a lot of these second-year guys, let's be honest, they've been working out since April, right? Since May, right? And it's funny how we, the fan base, we focused so much all year on the win now and develop mindset and kind of mantra that Joe Lacob had set. And you heard the vets and, you know, most of the fan base was like, well, this isn't going to work, right? You can't have your cake and eat it too. And we're going to end up coming up short here, trying to thread the needle with this development process as well as having the core. Well, in hindsight, right, in actuality, we end up winning it all. And I think it was the rooks that didn't really get that much development. Sure, Moody got a start, right? Kuminga, there was these flashes of minutes where they got some experience. They didn't really get development in game. Right, they got experience, the nerves checking in, the feeling, the speed of the game. But development is a process that happens over a ton of reps, right? Development is what Jalen Green got, what Cade Cunningham got, right? And rightfully so, they're, you know, such high picks. Josh Giddey got. I think that can kind of get lost in the success of the season. Kuminga and Moody didn't get a ton of development. They got some experience. Now, the other part of Kuminga's early performance in Summer League was just the body language and the attitude. There was an attitude and a bad body language to him, a bad vibe to him, a frustration. And there's been rumblings of Kuminga's kind of attitude problem. I guess Andre has alluded to it. And yeah, I guess it's something. Look, maybe I was blinded by the excitement of his potential to not notice it. But at the same time, it's kind of hard to catch when he's not on the floor that much. But apparently, you know, some of the fan base and others have pointed out to me like, hey, Al, you know, like this Kuminga attitude problem has kind of been a thing that's been brewing. Here's the thing. When you look across sports, a lot of great players have an attitude problem. I'm not going to say it goes hand in hand, But a lot of the time, that edge is kind of what helps propel these guys. Now, the question is, how do you use that, right? Is Kuminga going to become a Jedi or a Sith? What side of the Force will he choose? And it could drive him to great things, or, you know, we know it, we've seen a lot of talented dudes ruin their careers with their attitude problems. So it's you know, not necessarily a fork in the road, but I just point out that that's not necessarily a bad thing if he can alchemize it and put it in the right direction. Now, here he is in Summer League, and he kind of righted the wrong after that first dud of a game, right, where he was out there looking like Corey Maggette, just head down to the rim. He's getting all he can eat right now in this Summer League. I guess my takeaway is I'm not sure he'll ever be the ball in the hand create guy, the high pick and roll clear out, like I'm going to take over guy. He doesn't really seem to have that feel to me is what we're seeing. Granted, he's 20 years old, 19 years old. Not that he can't develop better feel, but it, also the shot mechanics, right? The shot mechanics. I think the other big storyline has been his free throws. He's got there like 30 times, right? But he's shooting like 50%. And when you slow it down and look at this, one thing that I even noticed this when I was looking at his G League Ignite footage is he doesn't have wrist flexion, you know, and plenty of ways to skin a cat, right? Everybody gets it to the hoop in a different way. You got leg shooters, right? You got wrist flickers. Steph really flicks the wrist, right? That's a big part of his shot. Kuminga doesn't flex his wrist. It's straight. It's parallel with his forearm. And therefore, a lot of the arc and trajectory has to come from his feet and his legs. And so when he's flat-footed at the free throw line, you see that flat shot that hits the front of the rim a ton, or he just doesn't have great control of it. That's also why he appears to shoot better off the bounce, right? Because when you're moving and you're off the bounce, that pretty much guarantees your legs are going to get involved in that shot. And you've seen him have more success with that. And, you know, it kind of reminds me, you remember Kerr about halfway through the year, he threw out the comparison of Sean Marion. I'd probably sprinkle in maybe a little Kenyon Martin, right? That type of physicality and bully ball. But I think the point Kerr was making is he can be an all-star without the ball in his hands, without the ISOs. Run the floor, play with a high motor, and use your gifts. That's probably the most efficient route to stardom for him. Now, how do they convince Kuminga to embrace that role? Right? Because you can see he wants the ball, right? Like it seems like he thinks of himself as a lead dog eventually. Give me the ball, get out of my way. And again, I talked about it a bit in the breakdowns. If that's the route, if whether it's with the Warriors or another team or however this pans out, you look down the road 4 years from now and he is like the guy on a team and it's like give him the ball and get going. If that's going to be the route, then he needs to model his game after Kawhi. You heard Andre say himself, he's the strongest 19-year-old he's ever seen. And you see how comfortable he is at the elbows and the nail area where Kawhi likes to operate with that pull up and fade. Kawhi has the same. Kawhi has a very flat shot as well, right? But it's become very effective and efficient in part because of where he operates. When you operate free throw line and in at the elbows there, you don't need that much arc on your shot, especially when you're a 6'8 guy with elevation, right? You almost get eye level with the rim and you can just kind of line drive it in the rim, right? And so that's where I think he can operate efficiently as an ISO scorer. And we're seeing him kind of figure that out in these summer league games. Overall, I think the performance, you know, I'd like to see him trying to be more of a complete player than he is in the summer league. But these guys are all out there trying to shine. They're all trying to get their Instagram moment and their stat line for Twitter. But I understand why he's so thirsty. He and Moody, they sat and they watched, and they were a part of this championship run. But were they? You know, when in all actuality, they both wanted to do more, to be more a part of it. So I get the thirst. And they look around Summer League at these guys, most of them that will never be in the league. And they're like, no, this is my turn. I'm not giving up the ball. I'm going straight to the cup. But ultimately, listen, with Kuminga, the physical attributes and the takeover clutch gene that he is flashing when given the opportunity, you can't teach that stuff, right? You can't teach that stuff. So that's why I'm as high on him today as I've ever been. And that's probably also why the Nets will accept him as the prize in the KD trade. You've heard about the, you know, all the stuff that's coming out here and what's posturing and what's this. The bottom line is Joe Tsai, the Nets owner, is scorned, and rightfully so. So he is going to make any deal tough, right? He may not even really want to make a deal. That's the reality of it. The reported offer to the Wolves, did you hear that one, right? They wanted Towns and Ant for KD for a 34-year-old Kevin Durant. And you know what it reminded me of? You remember the kid in grade school or middle school, one of your friends that was an only child, and they really had no concept of sharing or value. And they would ask for yours. Not some of yours, yours, right? Like, you got the last slice of pizza. They wouldn't say, hey, can I have some of that? They'd say, hey, can I have that? Look at you, like, straight in the face. Can I have that? Can I have yours? Nah, man, but, you know, you've heard, again, posturing, and who knows who's leaking this stuff, but the apparent asks for KD from the Nets are wild. They're the type of asks where it makes you think like they probably don't even really want to trade him. Joe Tsai is scorned. He wants to gut whatever team KD goes to. And so, you know, I don't even know how I feel about this shit, man. You know, like, apparently now the rumor this week is Steph has reached out to KD several times. Are we just trying to drive the price up for Phoenix? That's a good chess move, right? You know, but can you imagine how the phone call went with Steph? Kevin, we all make mistakes. It's time to come home to Papa Chef. That's a godfather move by Steph. If he's really calling KD like, hey, listen, all is forgiven. Just come home. Kiss the ring and you'll get some more. I kind of like that flex from Steph, and it just lets you know where his motivation and his heart is at. Steph wants rings. He wants chips. And by any means. And I'll be honest with you, like, again, I don't even know what to believe or what to think of this stuff, but it would not be as fun for me to cover the team moving forward if KD returned for a bunch of our young pieces, right? But look, if it meant another two rings for the core, I can't be mad at that either. Like, it makes sense to Steph, Draymond, and Klay. It does. If they're all still cool, it makes perfect sense to those four guys. I don't know about Kerr, you know, when you look in hindsight at all that stuff, right? But, you know, I guess I'd do it if it wasn't the kitchen sink. Obviously, it starts with Wiggins' contract, and that sucks because of who he's grown into with us. And I think everybody's fallen in love with Wiggs as he's really become a warrior. Okay, so it starts with Wiggins, but you can't have all the youngsters. If we could get KD for Wiggins, Wiseman, and Moody, and you keep pulling Kuminga, probably got to pull the trigger on that one, right? But I'm guessing Kuminga is where the conversation stalls out, right? After Wiggins in the contract, they're like, all right, we want Kuminga. And shit, based off what the reports are of what they're asking, they want Poole, Kuminga, Wiseman, Moody, you know, Steph's unborn child, you know, I don't know. So it's just wild talk, man. But I did want to address it. So I know there's a lot of people that are like, fuck KD, man. Fuck KD. I don't want to see him again. I get it. But I know that there's also a portion of the fan base where they're like, I don't know how to, you're torn about it, right? And so am I. But you saw, you know, in contrast, how Utah and Donovan Mitchell handled their situation properly. Last week, it comes out, Donovan Mitchell will not request a trade, right? That's what you do. You don't publicly ask for the trade, so now you allow the Jazz to have some sort of leverage in these negotiations here, and now this week, it's like, all right, well, where's Donovan Mitchell going to go? We all know the Knicks have been thirsty for him for I don't know how long. And we know that they're desperate for relevance, but I'm not trading a King's ransom for Donovan Mitchell. I'm sorry, especially after the Brunson deal. A backcourt of Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson, what does that get you exactly? A quick second round exit? I don't know, man. I don't know. And they're both fine players. They're good players. I think Mitchell's a bit overrated, and I think he would be much better in Miami, where he would be held accountable by their culture and Spo. If Mitchell goes to New York to be the next savior of the Knicks, I don't think he's talented enough to be that guy. Now, maybe they'll get a strength in numbers type of thing going on, and it'll be a 1-2 combination. It's tough. It's tough in that media market and that spotlight. So we'll see how that ends up. But you can see Danny Ainge and Mitchell playing the situation right. Ainge fucking up the market. What other news around the league? I guess the Blazers made a lot of rumblings with the money they've thrown around. My guy Togas on the Discord was wondering, like, what the fuck is Portland doing? Well, it looks like they're going for it, right? But the problem is, I don't think their ceiling is high enough, and they kind of feel maxed out, right? They've paid everyone. What other moves are there to be made? I guess maybe the hope is Simons can take another step, you know? And I like all the defensive wings they've brought in to surround Dame with. And obviously Jeremy Grant, the headliner, but you look down the roster, Nazir Little, you know, even Josh Hart. They've got some defensive-minded players. So I think they've taken a step in the right direction. But, like, here's the thing with the Dame deal. We all are complaining about the players having too much control right now. This just enables it even more. You give Dame a loyalty extension that will kick in well beyond his prime. You know, I'm sure y'all have heard so many people question it. Everybody is, right? It's just like, and at some point here, if the owners want to take back some control, you just can't do that shit. You know, and maybe it'll take Joe Tsai sitting on his hands and calling KD's bluff. Maybe that will help. But at some point here, these teams are going to have to stop bending over for the stars. It just, so yeah, Portland looks like a playoff team. Like but again, what's their ceiling? They've paid everyone. There's not a lot of wiggle room now. They're kind of committed to this roster. What's the ceiling of this roster? I don't know. Let's get back to some of the summer league stuff and these young players. You know what I'd like to see, though, is the summer league be treated like the G League. Because, you know, in the last couple of years, the stigma of the G League has been lifted, right? Probably part of that started with the changing of the name from the D League, right? Ain't nobody want to go play in the D League. They're like, no, homie, it's the G League. But no, now you see all sorts of veteran guys and guys in the middle of their careers. They'll go down there for work or, you know, rehab and reps. And you look at these summer league rosters, too many of the young guys or young veterans around the league are sitting this out. Like, y'all ain't that good yet. Y'all ain't that good yet. In my eyes, like, for instance, you look at this Orlando Magic team. They've already shut down Banchero. And look, he looks legit, man. He looks like he's going to step in day one and be the focal point of that offense. And I think a lot of us, you know, watching the tournament, it was like, yo, I mean, this guy is the number one pick. This guy, like, it's pretty clear here. But, and you know, I think his passing ability and size is, anyway, it's, they should be happy with that pick. I get it, fine. But did they miss out on an opportunity to roll out a Franz Wagner and some of their other young guys that are actually on the roster, go build some chemistry and dominate Summer League? Give them that confidence headed into the season. And maybe it has to do with the team and the load management, and they're telling these young guys, they're holding them back. They're like, no, we don't want you to play. But to me, it just feels like there are too many second, third, and even fourth year guys that are sitting out Summer League. They're not finished products. And then it would raise the level of play in Summer League, and then the numbers would mean more, right? Instead of scoring against a guy that's going to work at fucking Big Old Tire, you know, you're playing against your peers more. And so, again, maybe it's partly load management, but I'd like to see more established NBA guys not afraid to play in summer league games. You saw Justin Jackson kill us the other night for the Celtics, but he's trying to catch on. He's fallen out of the league. You saw GP2 do it a year ago. There are some outlier instances, but I think more guys should do it. It should be treated like the G League. So we actually, I was gonna do a segment here on OKC and Giddy and Chet, but we actually play them Friday, so I'm going to save the majority of those takes when we see them. Fingers, oh man, if we get to see Chet and Wiseman, fingers crossed that they both play, that will be fun. That will be fun. So I'll say my thoughts on that duo and OKC rolling those guys out for chemistry. I heard that was actually Giddy Giddey was like, no, I want to play. So I fuck with it. I fuck with it. But let's talk James Wiseman. First and foremost, we can't lose sight. He looks healthy. He looks healthy. Right? That's the when they shut him down a second time, and then I was hearing he went to Europe for, you know, PRP, you're like, oh man, is this gonna just be one of those stories? So he looks healthy. That's first and foremost. And he's showing some improvement. As marginal as it may be, it's in the right direction. And that was what was so discouraging to me about the G League appearance. When was that, in March? You know, because it was, look, we get it. He'd been injured. I'm not saying he was going to come out and you know, be Hakeem Olajuwon, and no one expected that, but everybody was hoping to see, like, some marginal improvements. Like, all right, maybe his footwork a little more polished, the hands a little stronger, you know. And then those three G League games, it was like no improvement. That's what was so discouraging. Now, what I'm seeing is a guy, he's staying more ready. Now, we have to have a much larger sample size of that, because just a five game summer league thing is, it's not a big enough sample size, right? You know, to simplify it, it can just be a honeymoon. But he's staying more ready. A lot of the time you see with young players, I love to use, you've seen the Nike basketball shirts, it says basketball never stops. And that's the truth of it, is like your attention, not physically, you could just be standing there, but your attention has to be, you have to be alert at all times. You can't take mental breaks when you're on the floor, when you're a young player. If you're LeBron, fine, you understand you're not part of this, you know what's going to happen, then you can do it. When you're a vet, Andre, that's the advantage veterans have to preserve their bodies. But as a young player, you have to be alert all the time. And so I'm seeing Wiseman just be more alert. He's staying ready in this small sample size. The timing, I think we all can understand why that's off, whether he has timing or not. He's trying to anticipate, right? And he's actually jumping and contesting shots at the rim. That was like my huge pet peeve his rookie year. And when we saw him, and it's one of those things where as a coach, as a teacher, I was talking to someone about this today, and the messages is, young players, young students, they take things too literally sometimes. And I feel like Wiseman initially, they were like, hey, just be tall, stay vertical. And he would take it too literally. You'd see him stand there with two hands up and not like change angles or contest shots. It's like, bro, you could easily jump and just bat that shit. And so he's finally jumping and trying to protect the rim, and you're seeing his presence. What's the saying? You can't teach big. There are several times where guys head into the paint and they just, you know, hit a Yui. Because he's standing at the rim. He ain't even got to do nothing. He's just there. But as far as the pick and roll coverage, he's still too yielding, in my opinion, right? Where he drops down into that crouch stance and he just retreats. And the guards, especially at the NBA level, never mind summer league, you got to make them think about something, right? It's too easy of a read for an advanced ball handler. And really, you know, Draymond being the master of masters at this is that cat and mouse game. In the pick and roll coverage and in that coverage. And Wiseman, he's just not yet playing that game. And I'm not expecting that he would, right? But he doesn't make him think about anything. He's just too deliberate right now. It's like a dancer counting his steps. I went into some more detail on that in the breakdowns. You can find that on my Patreon. Support your boy. But I would love to see him show at the top of the screen or even switch at times, right? Because like, what's the point of this crazy athletic 7-footer if all you're doing is having him drop and be super conservative? So maybe that will come in time when maybe he's more confident in his body and their baby steps or what. But you also heard the Athletic boys, Slater and Marcus Thompson, and their takeaways. They were there. They saw him in person. They were talking about a lack of strength. Like, he does look physically stronger, but he was kind of getting bullied and he's kind of not that strong. And brought up the lower body. I'm sure he is a little bit top heavy, like most of these young dudes are. I don't think it's as much of a lack of strength as it is a lack of technique. I think he doesn't understand leverage, angles, and using his weight yet. For instance, my daughter and I are working on drawing contact and then finishing. And, you know, she's trying to bump me. She can't move me. I'm about 200 pounds. But I'm like, well, what if you drop low and then bump up towards me, right? And then all of a sudden, you're nudging me off my pivot and you're winning the contact, right? Like, it's technique. It's technique more so than strength. So we'll see. Again, such a small sample size. Offensively, let's just be honest. No one is doing him any favors on that summer league roster. No one is like, let me get you a bucket, big fella. No one, man. You heard Steve Smith crying about it, and I think it was the second game, right? They're running a lot of pick and rolls with him, right? In the screens, he does that thing where he kind of reaches out with his elbow to try to make sure he gets contact with his arms. And what's happening is he's setting up the screen too early. Like, go find the guy and set up right and on his shit. Don't set up 2 feet away from him. Guys are going to, you're going to miss. And especially when you've got ball handlers in McClung and Kuminga who are leaving too early. They're not even letting him set up. So it's kind of compounding the issue. And then when he rolls, the timing is off. I've also heard people talking about how he and Kuminga, they don't really fit on the floor together. It's funny though, because the solution is simple. It's right in our faces. It's right in front of us. What is Wiseman's strength and instincts as an offensive player? It's shooting the ball, right? Let him pop on the pick and roll. Let him pop to the top of the key and let him play on the perimeter. It's almost as if they're so concerned that he'll fall in love with being a jump shooting big, they're neglecting the fact that that's really his nature as a ball player. And that's his strength and value on that end of the floor right now. So use it. Let him build confidence with that. Let him play outside in. We all can see he's not really refined in the paint and with his back to the basket and all that. He's got touch. He's got touch. But what's his instinct? He'll get the ball 3 feet from the basket. He wants to shoot a jumper. And then in turn, what does that do? That encourages Kuminga to play to his strengths and attack in the paint because Wiseman set up out on the perimeter. I don't know. It seems like a simple solution. But I think they may be overthinking the development process. They're looking too far ahead instead of like what's right in front of them in their strengths right now. When it comes to filling out the roster, everybody's waiting on Andre. And gauging on Andre and his personality, he's going to make him wait till the last minute because that's the type of thing he would do. But, you know, is there going to be a camp battle between Mac McClung and Quindary Weatherspoon? Now, at the risk of sounding blasphemous, Mac McClung kind of reminds me a bit of Starberry himself, the real Jesus Shuttlesworth, Stephon Marbury. Now, granted, the Kroger version, listen to me, like I'm not, you know, he's not, but the speed, the bounce, the flair to his game, he plays off 2 feet at that size, right? Not as probably as strong as Marbury was, but you know, I bet he watched a lot of him growing up as a kid. I see the influence that, you know, gets downhill in that athleticism. And initially, the first game they brought him in, I was like, damn, maybe he gets it. Maybe McClung gets it, you know, coming into this Warrior system. He has to use his athleticism and ability to get in the paint to create for others. That's, I think, what the Warriors are looking for. But as the games went on, you saw he showed his instincts to score, right? He's not going to ever be a pass-first guy. And unfortunately, I think for him to make it in the league, I think he's got to be more balanced. I think he's got to figure out how to become more of a pass-first guy because, let's just face it, he's not good enough a shooter to be that aggressive of a shooter as a scorer, right? But he's a fun guy, and I'm interested to see if he gets a camp invite, if no one else picks him up. You know, he impressed me with his athleticism and his toughness, his motor. You're not going to question the motor and the effort out there from him. You know, and I think we all saw the high school mixtapes, right? But then you watched him at Georgetown and at Texas Tech, and that athleticism didn't really translate to the college game, in part because there's not a lot of transition probably in the pack, the way the zones, the paint's packed and all that. So I wonder if in the space of the NBA, that athleticism can be more effective. We'll see where he ends up and if they compete. But, you know, Q, I think, definitely has the advantage right now because, one, he's been in the Warriors system, what, two years now? And then he has a defined NBA skill as a defender. Like, you know, we can use him as a defender. So we'll see how that goes. And then how about Gui Santos, the Brazilian? I'm going to save my take on him for a YouTube video. I like him. I think we all like him. I think we're all like, this is an intriguing prospect here. But I'll cover that in a YouTube video. I got to spread some of this content out here. You know, the first round pick, though, did y'all forget? We had a first round pick, Patrick Baldwin Jr. So he had a dislocated ankle, an ankle bruise in December, and he's still not on the court. That's a bad sign, man. That's a bad sign. And my guy Chip, he asked me, he was like, a dislocated ankle? He's never seen, he never heard of one. Well, I'll tell you one, that a famous one. The famous one is Gordon Hayward's. Right now, that was as gruesome as they come. But I've seen a dislocated ankle. It was 10, 12 years ago. It's actually at the same gym I hoop at right now. I wasn't playing with the kid. I just hear, oh, and like, you know, everybody kind of like making like, oh, sounds. I look over down at the other end of the court, and this kid is holding his leg up and his foot is pointed the wrong way. And the kid had on Airwalks. Do they make those anymore? Do y'all remember Airwalks? Maybe they were Vans. They were skater shoes. And I'm just thinking like, dude, you can't be hooping in those shoes. But the fucked up thing about it was we all ran out of the basketball courts. Like we were like, oh, everybody like ran out. I think one, you know, his homie like stayed with him there. But we were just, everybody just kind of like wanted to leave and not look at it. So yeah, those, and then whenever you have a bone bruise, that can be a very tricky, long rehab process. But again, the fact that he's still out and not on the court from this long, it's just a bad look. It's concerning. Now, Ryan Rollins is much better news. The kid from, I don't know where was that school he came from? The small school, the little guard who kind of reminds me of Monte. Everybody was excited to see. Now, the stress fracture they found in his foot, that news is much more positive because one, he didn't even know he had it. It was just when they were like doing his physical. And so they think like just some rest and he'll be good for training camp. So that's good news. That's good news. I'm going to probably lean into the mailbag here on the pods the next month or two in the off season. So you guys give me ideas and I'll give you the voicemail for the patrons. Y'all can leave me a voicemail and get on the pod and I'll open up the mailbag to Twitter and stuff like that. But I did have a question from my guy Advance. Well, it's the acronym for Advance, ADV. I don't know how you'd want to say that, but he asked what I thought about the movie Hustle. Adam Sandler and Edwards, which Hernan Gomez, is it Hernan? But, you know, on Netflix. I thought it was dope, man. I thought it was dope. You know, so many movies appear to be about a sport, and then they quickly turn into some lame romantic comedy, right? And so I love that it was actually about basketball. I loved that. You know, KD, his production company, has a show on, I think it's on Apple. It's got Ice Cube's son on it, and it's supposed to be about club basketball. But you watch a couple episodes and they're just trying to make a bunch of corny political statements. It's like, come on, man, just make a show about basketball. What's wrong with that? But I guess that's not who they're trying to get watch it. But yeah, no, I thought it was dope. Look, I would have loved for there to have been a little more on his training and actual development, getting ready for the league, you know, rather than him like running hills like he was Rocky. You know, they could have done some more like basketball detail stuff. But again, I get it. I'm a purist when it comes to the hoops and I want the detail and all that. But I love old Adam Sandler. I love this older version of Adam Sandler. I loved Uncut Gems. And I hope he keeps making what he's passionate about, because Sandler's just a legend anyway. I even love the silly stuff in his younger days, but I like these sports movies and these darker movies he's leaned into later in his career. All right, so we got Thunder Friday, hopefully a Chet Wiseman matchup. And then I think there's one more game where hopefully our guys are out there. You know where to find the coverage on that. And I'll jump back on these pods as I've rebalanced my energies without the caffeine. This is High Volume Shooter. I'm out, y'all.